message. Today's message is labor to enter God's rest, the Exodus part 2. I do want to call your attention to the front of the bulletin. Here we see a lady laid down and nestled and cuddled into the Word of God. And we have a scripture there in Matthew 11:28. It says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest is an important thing. Too many times we get caught up in the antics and notions and thought of, well, may they rest in peace. That rest will come at the end of our journey. That rest will come when we get to heaven. Certainly that is absolutely true. Rest will come then. We will rest in peace. But I want you to know that you can rest in peace now. It is possible. Is it probable? All depends on you. How much do you allow God to control things, and how much do you try to control things? We're going to look today at the children of Israel. We're going to begin reading here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, which is our leading scripture. "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." I want to break this down a little bit for you. And this word labor, when we think about laboring, to me, when somebody says you need to labor to rest, it's like, that's contradictory to me. I either I'm going to work or I'm going to rest. I can't do both. You know, which is it? Do I labor or do I rest? Well, I got to thinking about that. And this scripture here is telling us, lest any man, that's everybody, that's you and I, fall after the same example of unbelief. So I'm seeing here that unbelief is tied to the lack of rest. Unbelief is tied to the lack of rest. Why is labor needed in order to rest? When we're faced with trials and tribulations, it can be a struggle to keep our thoughts on the victory that has already been won rather than on succumbing to our fear and unbelief. So many times, fear will take a hold of us. Unbelief will take a hold of us. And when that happens, we lose our peace. We're not sure anymore. We're uncertain. We don't know how the circumstances are going to play out. These trials and tribulations are confusing us. What do we do? But see, we struggle to remain in His Word. We struggle, that's our labor, to remain true to the Word of God. Remain listening to the Word, that we let it become our number one source of information. Our go-to, rather than what the world is telling us. Because trials and tribulations, they want to tell you something else. Those circumstances want to dictate something else to you. It's what we call the good fight of faith. Now, what's a good fight? Do any of y'all like to fight? I really don't. But what is a good fight? One you win. It's certainly not a good fight if you lose. We can fight the good fight of faith. We can win this fight, this war against unbelief. We can do that. Do you ever wonder why it seems to take so long for you to get your prayers answered? Have you ever been there where you've prayed for something and, well, I've been praying for this for years. I've been standing in the gap for years. I have been asking God for this for years. Why is it taking so long? There must be an easier way. There's got to be a shortcut somewhere that I'm missing. Why do I always have to take the long way around or the long way home? Think about this. The reason is because God loves you too much. Now, you don't understand that. Well, if He loved me, He'd just give me what I want. Right? If He loved me, He'd just make it happen quick and it'd be over with. Well, that'd be like giving your keys to your car to your 5-year-old just because he wanted to drive the car. But you love that child so much that you're not going to give them the keys of the car and say, crank it up and go at it. Because you already know they're not mature enough to handle it. In many things, God knows he loves us so much, he's not going to put us in danger. He don't want to see us fail. So he's not going to allow circumstances to happen until we're mature enough to handle them. So if you're tired of waiting, hurry up and grow up. Now, we look here at the children of Israel. We've been examining the Exodus as they left Egypt. And we're going to look here at Exodus chapter 13 and verses 17 and 18. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them along the road through the land of the Philistines, even though it was shorter. For God said, the people will change their minds and return to Egypt if they face a battle. Now, we have to look at that. You are going to face some battles in your life. You want the shortcut, but the shortcut takes you through battles. There's a quick way to get there, but you're going to have to fight for it. But too many people don't want to fight for it. No, I don't enjoy the fighting. That's too hard. Egypt is representing bondage. It's representing slavery, oppression, a heavy burden. The time spent that the children of Israel spent in the wilderness, those 40 years, that wasn't to get the people out of Egypt. That was to get Egypt out of the people. That's why they had to spend 40 years in there. It took 40 years to get Egypt out of them. It took 40 years to get the bondage out of them. It took 40 years for them to finally relieve and get rid of that slave mentality. They held on to it too many times. We as Christians, we hang on to our slave mentality. Well, after all, I'm only human. Well, I am getting older. Well, this is the way life goes. Everybody goes through this. Everybody does this. And we start generalizing in scriptures, and we start generalizing our terms, and we start making excuses for the Word of God. We make excuses for our bondage. Well, God understands. Too many Christians don't want to fight to receive from God. Most would rather stay in bondage than put forth any type of effort. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. Now, Jesus telling us that would have been a good thing and say, well, at least he knows it. But he didn't stop there. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. So he already knew you're going to go through tribulations and trials. But be of good cheer. He's overcome every tribulation, every trial. He's overcome this world. Now let's get into Hebrews chapter 3. And this is where Paul is making, remembering and bringing to the remembrance of the Jews their history. And we're going to begin here in Hebrews 3 in verse 12. And we're going to read all the way through into the fourth chapter. Now remember, the book wasn't divided up into chapter and verses. So the story continues on through chapter 3 all into chapter 4. So we're going to read 3:12 through 4:6. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. Notice he put those two together. Turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today. I want to stop here for just a second. You'll notice that I have highlighted bold today. And I have it because numerous times here in Scripture, Paul is going to mention today, 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 today. You ever heard the expression, tomorrow never comes? And, you know, when you're a little kid, you know, you ask mom, when are we going to do this? And she says, tomorrow. Then when tomorrow gets here, when are we going to do this? I told you tomorrow. But you said that yesterday. Well, You know, then we realize she's saying no. What is today meaning? It's meaning right now. Do you know you never get out of today? You never leave today? You can't live in yesterday and you can't live in tomorrow. You can only live in today. You can only live right now. You can only live in the immediate today. Well, look at the verse just right above that. You must warn each other every day. Every day is today. It's not a one-time deal. It's not a, well, I read that one time. Yeah, I've heard that preached. Well, yes, I prayed that prayer. It's every day being in the Word of God. We must warn each other every day while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin. Sin deceives you, and it hardens against God. Verse 14, for if, this is conditional, if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. All that belongs to Christ. Not some that belongs to Christ. Not part that belongs to Christ. Remember, Romans 8:17 tells us that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So all he has is ours. We're joint heirs together with him. He is so good to us. Verse 15. Remember what it says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. Again, I want to stop here and comment on this and help you to realize, how do you hear God's voice? How is it that we hear God's voice? Our number one way is the Word of God, the Bible, reading it. His voice is the Word, and the Word is his will. So if you want to be in God's will, read his Word. But there's something else here that we have to realize, that if you don't read the Word, if you don't get in the Word, it will cause you to rebel. Why? How is that? Because you're not going to do what he said. How can you do what he said if you don't know what he's talking about? Verse 16. And who was it who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? Remember, that's representing bondage. That's what the Word of God is here for, to lead you out of bondage. Verse 17, and who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Boy, mean old God. Why is God so mean? Why is he so mad at the children of Israel? Why is he doing this? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been there where you felt like, why is God doing this to me? You know, God wasn't doing this to them. They weren't entering into his rest because of their unbelief. It wasn't God's fault. It was their own unbelief that hardened their own hearts. Verse 18, and to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. Now look what I have written for you. You cannot be in unbelief and rest at the same time. So anytime you're feeling restless, ask yourself, what are you believing? What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on the problem? Or are you focusing on the problem solver? Are you taking these burdens upon yourself? Or are you giving them to God and saying, God, I trust you to handle this? Continuing on, look what God says. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. Isn't that great news? That is good news. That promise that he gave to Abraham, that promise he gave to the children of Israel, the promises that God gives to you and I still stand. Well, but you don't understand my circumstances. Doesn't matter. His promises are above your circumstances. His promises still stand for us to enter into that rest. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. Now see, this is Paul talking, and he says, my fear for you guys is that you may not experience rest. He wants you to experience rest. Verse 2, for this good news that God has prepared his rest, this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. And when I say listen to God, understand I'm not just talking about hearing. I'm talking about acting on what he said. Verse 3, for only we who believe can enter his rest. For the others, God said, in my anger I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest, even though this rest has been ready since he made the world. Think about this for a moment, people. What are you needing today from God? It's already been provided for you. We've talked about this numerous times, about how that even before God created Adam and Eve, before he created mankind, he created all these provisions. He didn't wait till man showed up and then said, oh, he's going to need air, I'll give him something to breathe. Oh, he's going to need food, I'll go ahead and create that now that he's hungry. God provided for it. And we read in Scripture where Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. So this rest, your healing, your need has already been provided for before the world ever began. God knew it was, it didn't catch God by surprise. You know, how many times, I do this, I have to admit, sometimes I'm guilty. I will start talking to God, praying, as if I'm informing him of something, like he didn't know this was happening to me. Like it surprised him. You know, he's not surprised by your need. He's not surprised by your trial or your tribulation. He knew that was going to happen. And he's saying, I want you to come to me and rest. I have a place of rest for you. Verse 4. We know it is ready because of the place in the Scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. But the other passage, God said, they will never enter my place of rest. So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. Let's stop by here for a second. Healing is here for you. Salvation is here for you. We know that salvation took place 2,000 years ago. And God died for whosoever. Jesus died for whosoever. For everyone. Is everyone getting saved? Is everyone saved? No, even Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction. Few and narrow is the gate, and few are them that find it. So he knows there's going to be a vast majority of people who aren't going to go to heaven because, why, it's not provided for? No, it's provided for them just as it is for you. But they didn't enter in. So just you and I, the rest is here for us, but is required for us to enter in. We need to be hearers and not doers. We need to be not only hearers, but doers also. Verse 7, so God set another time for entering his rest. And that time is today, or that time is now, right now. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted, "Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." We must act on God's word now, immediately, every day. That's the time. When you read a scripture, it doesn't matter if you read the scripture 100 times. It don't matter if, well, I've heard this quoted many times. I've quoted it myself so many times. But today, don't just run past the scripture. Let it sink in and possess it. Enter into his rest. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. We're going to continue on now with the children of Israel. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked. Now think about this. Have you ever panicked? Have you ever had a moment of panic where you just thought, oh my, what am I going to do? Now what? How am I going to? And we get all these questions going on. The children of Israel did the same thing. They panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. Then they cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this was what happened? Why we were still in Egypt?" Hang on just a second there. Look at the word, the verbiage here. We do the same thing. When we're going through this thing, we ask, "Why, God? Why? Why me? Why is this happening to me?" We'll say, what have you done? What is going on? We'll say things like, "I knew this was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen." You ever been there? See, we question God just like the children of Israel. We'd love to think, well, if I was there, I'd have been thinking different. I would have stood up and said, "No, y'all calm down." No, our human nature would have been right in the middle of them. Remember, they had the slave mentality, the bondage mentality. And here, they're doing the same thing again. And they're saying, "Didn't we tell you this would happen? Why were we still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It is better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness." My, isn't that a little dramatic? That's how they felt. Now you look at their verbiage here. "We told you to leave us alone, Moses. We told you not to drag us out here." You think Moses forced them to go to leave Egypt? Moses didn't force them to eat that Passover, because anybody that didn't eat that Passover meal died. If they didn't have blood on the doorpost, they died. Moses didn't force them to pack up their bags. Moses didn't force them to receive gold from the Egyptians. Oh, everybody was so happy. Look at the Egyptians are giving us gold. Man, they were all happy till they got out there and turned around and saw the Egyptian army coming. Then all of a sudden, oh, the world is coming to an end. It's so bad. Notice this. They panicked. That means that fear always exaggerates the circumstances. Fear will always make you think something's worse than what it is. That's the devil's job. He's trying to make you think this is it. This is the end of your life. You're not going any further. You're destroyed. You have no hope. But not so, because of who our Lord is. Look at verse 13. "But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again." Verse 14, "The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Now, I like this, just stay calm. There's other translations that translate this and say, Just keep your mouth shut. Just shut up. You know, they didn't need to go through all this murmuring and complaining. They didn't need to go through all this woe is me and the drama and the fear and the panic. Moses is saying that God's telling you, okay, just hush. Just quit. Just stop. Don't stay around. Look at verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving." Another translation says, to move on, go forward, break camp. You know what he's trying to tell them? Don't stay around here in gripe land. You ever met anybody who just lives in gripe land? Or Murmurville? Or perhaps they live on Complain Lane? That's all they do is complain? All through Exodus, in Exodus 15, 24, and Exodus 16, chapter and verse 2, and verse 7, 17, 2, 3, and 7, and many numerous other places, the people for 40 years grumbled, murmured, complained, and even quarreled against Moses. Murmuring and complaining tells everyone else you are not at rest. You haven't given your problem over to God. You're still trying to solve it yourself, and you're still in bondage. Now let's put this into literal terms. Literally think about it. A person who is at rest, when a person is sleeping and they're resting, you don't hear them complain a bit, do you? You may hear a little out of them every now and then, but you don't hear them complaining because they're at rest. There's no complaining there. Complaining is letting us know, hey, that's a red flag. If you start complaining, when you start hearing things coming out and you're murmuring and you're griping about something, that's letting you know it's a red flag. Hey, hold up here. I'm not trusting God. I'm not resting in him. I'm not trusting that he's going to handle this. We see later on the children of Israel having many battles and having many wars, and now sometimes God tells them to do this, and they do it. And sometimes God tells them to do that, and they do it. Every time they do what God tells them to do, they win. Every time they don't, they lose. It's pretty simple. But one time, a huge battle was brewing right before Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel. He was king at the time, and he didn't know what to do. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15. Pay attention, everyone, in Judah, in Jerusalem, and to you too, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says to you. Stop being afraid and stop being discouraged because of this vast invasion force. Because the battle doesn't belong to you, but God. Stop fighting a battle that's already been won. Christ took the battle and already defeated the enemy. Then why are we having so much problem with him? Because we're not resting and giving God the battle. It doesn't belong to us. It's not your fight. Stay out of it. Let God handle this. When I look at the word Judah, I often see names and I look them up because names denote character. Judah means praise. Jerusalem means foundation of peace. Jehoshaphat is a combination of two words, which means Jehovah. Shaphat means has judged or ruled or governed his people. So pay attention to everyone who praises God, everyone whose foundation is peace, everyone who Jehovah is their judge. Listen to what the Lord says to you. Stop being afraid. Stop being discouraged. And you think about this because of this vast invasion. You know what invasion means? It don't belong there. The devil doesn't have a right in your life. You've been bought with a price. He doesn't have a right in your finances. You've been bought with a price. He doesn't have a right in your body. You've been redeemed. So he is an invasion coming in. He's invading on you. So you need to stand up, fight the good fight of faith, stay in the Word of God, and give the battle to the Lord. Can you heal yourself? Can you? Can you save yourself? No. But He can. Now, the funny thing about that is the contrary is true. You can't heal yourself, but you can keep yourself from being healed. You can't save yourself, but you can keep yourself from being saved by not entering in. Enter into His rest. It's a choice that we have to make. We have to catch ourselves and say, I'm going to stop fighting this fight. I'm going to rest in God. Look at what He says here in Psalm 68, verse 1. Let God arise. Let His enemies be scattered. Let those who hate Him flee before Him. Notice the word let. Who's He talking to? He's talking to the reader, whoever reads this. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. So who's stopping God from arising? Who's stopping Him from scattering our enemies? Let us. It's implied we need to allow Him, give Him free rein in our life. Let Him do this for us. He's already won the battle on Calvary. We've already accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. We've already said, Jesus, You're my Lord. We've already received salvation. Now receive rest. Don't panic when something, a circumstance pops up. Don't panic and get all fearful and frightful when a symptom comes your way. When something out of your control happens. When the invasion army comes pressing in on you. Don't worry. Don't get upset. Don't fear. Don't be discouraged. This battle don't belong to you. It's God's. Turn it over to Him and say, Father, I thank You that I am Your child and I rest in Your arms. You've got this and You've got me. Thank You. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that we can rest in Your arms and know that You can safely keep us from all harm. Yes, You did say there would be trials and tribulations in our lives, but these trials and tribulations are to help us grow, and there's not a one of them sent here to help us to be defeated, but they're sent aloud so that we can overcome this world. We thank You for the strength and the peace that passes all understanding through Jesus Christ. Amen.